Here's your money briefing for Thursday, November 17th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Unemployment is still at near record lows, but a big chunk of the working age population isn't in the workforce. In fact, economists aren't sure where they are.
This really puts employers in a bind because they have fewer older workers, but they also have fewer workers in their early 20s who are starting out in their career, who are seen as investments, who you train and you expect to remain at a company for years.
So where do these younger workers go? Our reporter Brian Mena has been going through the numbers. He'll join us to unravel a labor market mystery after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of The Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Most workers who were laid off or displaced during the pandemic have returned to the workplace, with one notable exception: workers in their early 20s, often categorized as being part of Gen Z. So where are these workers, who typically are in the early years of their career? WSJ reporter Brian Mena joins us. Hey, Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Brian, how many people in this group are we talking about that aren't in the workforce, and how do those numbers compare to before the pandemic?
So we're talking about a shortfall of about 500,000 workers when you compare the workforce size in February 2020 to October 2022. So in February 2020, you had 15.3 million workers between the ages of 20 to 24. And then in October, you had a workforce size of about 14.8 million workers.
But it's well known that wages have risen sharply in the past year as the competition for workers has intensified. Why didn't that lure people in their 20s back into the workforce?
Interestingly, this tight labor market did do the trick in luring back teenagers into the workforce, specifically workers between the ages of 16 and 19. And so, these workers raked in the biggest wage increases last year. And we saw participation not only recover to its pre-pandemic level, but the average participation rate in 2021 was the highest since 2009. And so clearly, it shows that these higher wages, these plentiful job opportunities, and there were some instances of employers reducing their requirements. All these factors really did the trick in luring back these teenagers, but that wasn't the case for the early 20-somethings.
Is this unusual? Are we seeing it in other groups?
Yeah, so labor force participation is still lower than before the pandemic, and it's particularly lower for people over 55. And we know this because some of them took early retirements because of the fears surrounding the pandemic or the difficulty in finding suitable work at their stage in their careers. So it's not just 20-somethings, it's also older folks. But overall, you have participation that's still lower than before the pandemic.
Right. But clearly, these 20-somethings aren't going into retirement. So let's try to get to the bottom of this. You know, Brian, a lot of people in this age group enroll in graduate school. Is that part of the equation here?
That's one possibility. But this is where we get conflicting data, because data from the National Student Clearinghouse shows that there were about 1.5 million fewer students enrolled in college this fall compared with before the pandemic. And in the past, research has shown that a decline in labor force participation among younger workers has coincided with an increase in their school enrollment, you know, generally reflecting this higher demand for educated or highly skilled workers, which is especially true in a weak labor market, like which is what happened during the 2007-2009 recession. That hasn't been the case this time around.
So some of them are not working, but also not at school. There's got to be more going on.
So it is also possible that they could be taking care of a relative, they could be, or quite simply just waiting for the right job opportunity to come along. And so the reasons do vary on why someone may not be in school or in the labor force. But one reason is that they may just be waiting for the right job to come along. And this is afforded because of the tight labor market. You know, workers have leverage, and so they have this luxury of waiting it out, whether it's better wages, better working conditions, whatever it may be. So that's one reason why.
Aha, got it. So given that, what does this say about this generation's mindset about work, and how does their absence affect employers?
We know that job openings began to soar last year, and they're still pretty high. We had about 10.3 million job openings in September. And we know that quitting is still elevated. And so These both reflect that workers have confidence in leaving a job and being able to quickly find one. And one economist pointed at this changed mindset among these workers. And you see this through movements like Quiet Quitting, Work Your Wage, where it kind of points to this leverage that these workers have, simply because you have such a tight labor market with really high labor demand, and you have a smaller pool of workers because of these early retirees, these early 20-somethings sitting on the sidelines. This really puts employers in a bind because they have fewer older workers, but they also have fewer workers in their early 20s who are starting out in their career, who are seen as investments, who you train and you expect to remain at a company for years. And so employers could potentially be losing out on these investments. And so the implications are pretty significant.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Brian Mena. Brian, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.